45% of Americans make New Year's resolutions. By the end of January, a third of them are broken. And undaunted by that statistic, Here Now media analyst John Carroll has suggestions for pledges members of the media can make, and starting with social media. John, welcome.
Nice to be here, Robin.
So Facebook, Instagram, which Facebook acquired this year, both saw their share of controversy. Remind us of what it was and what you would recommend.
Yeah, they're magnets for controversy at this point. And Facebook, it's all about privacy. What information you control, what information you receive. Facebook is sucking more and more data out of people all the time. That's the business they're in.
Well, one of the funny stories of the year has to be Mark Zuckerberg's sister, Randy. And Mark Zuckerberg, of course, the founder of Facebook, his sister, Randy, posted a picture to her Facebook. It was a picture of the Zuckerberg family, which was then tweeted. And she sent the woman who tweeted it this tweet: "Not sure where you got this photo. I posted it to friends only on Facebook. You reposting it to Twitter is way uncool." Shouldn't Randy Zuckerberg, of all people, know, you know, nothing's really private?
Right. She was lecturing about digital etiquette, saying that it's not about privacy settings. It's about human decency, and you should always ask permission. And my feeling is, tell your brother that, because all he does is grab people's data. And the thing that Facebook is doing now is not only marketing what you do on Facebook, it's following you around the web and marketing what you do elsewhere as well. And he's just repackaging this information, selling it to marketers. All he wants to know is, what can he sell you and how can he sell you?
Well, and it's contagious because he bought Instagram, and Instagram then planned to sell users' photographs. Instagram is the photo platform. And they weren't going to pay them or even notify them. And they backed off after a public outcry.
Yeah, and when that information came out about Instagram, they notified people that they weren't going to notify them when they sold their photographs. Somebody called it Instagram's suicide note. And there was a big outcry. They backed off. But Facebook is all about two steps forward, one step back. So they're always instituting these new policies. And nobody knows really what the terms of service are.
So my resolution for them
would be basically, don't change your privacy policy for an entire year. See if you can kick the whole sort of information sucking that you do all the time, and give people a break for a while. Let them operate without worrying about how much they're exposing themselves.
Also on the social media front, Pope Benedict XVI has a new Twitter feed. He sent out just 14 tweets so far. Your thoughts?
Yeah, the old Pontifex is out there on social media, and his tweets are really sort of innocuous. I mean, you know, he talks about, "The cribs that we built in our home gave me much pleasure. We added figures each year and used moss for decoration."
I'm hoping he's talking about a manger.
Yeah, it's really interesting because what he tweets out is entirely bland. What people are tweeting to him is just a viper's nest of recriminations, bitterness. It's a combination of the scatological, the sacrilegious, and the snarky. And it's really a sort of a remarkable exhibit of how people feel about the Pope, how people feel about the Catholic Church.
Certainly not everyone, but they open themselves up to that flow. And so what would you recommend?
What would I recommend to the Pope?
For a resolution.
I would recommend that he get into a tweet fight with somebody, maybe at Beelzebub.
So in other words, you're saying there is an opportunity potentially to engage.
There is, yeah. But I don't think they're taking advantage of it. And what they're doing is they're getting the minimum benefit and they're getting the maximum downside, because he's being beaten all over the social media.
Oh, boy. Well, and by the way, there are those who are having a backlash to what's happening on Twitter. Just want to address that. The Hollywood Reporter features a column by an anonymous top executive, a top marketing executive, who says his hope for the new year is to crush, to eradicate, to blot from the face of the frickin' earth Twitter. He or she says every little itty-bitty blob of digital sputum that's launched into the ecosystem is picked up by the 24/7 foghorn that never stops bleeding. So I know what the proprietor of the New York Post thinks about the Jewish media. This is when Rupert Murdoch tweeted out, "I know that Donald Trump never fails to conform to our expectations of him as the president of the lunatic fringe." He's saying that these small minority voices suddenly get blown up because, as he says, tweets are not news, but they're what we choose to focus on instead of news. That Twitter is sort of taking us away from what's really serious. You know, what do you think? Is this the beginning of a backlash against Twitter? Because we also saw Twitter alert us to governments falling.
Right. Right. I think there's always going to be a backlash, but I don't think Twitter's going away. Somebody described it as not an app anymore. It's plumbing.
Part of the infrastructure.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And there's upside and downside to it. This whole idea of sort of ambient awareness of other people. But it can also drive you crazy with triviality. You know, do you want to follow Kim Kardashian? Yeah, because it's amusing. Do you want to attach any weight to what she does? No. It's tempting to just chase after all this sort of digital candy. I think more reserve is called for by the news media to not chase these things, focusing on the transient, focusing on the trivial, and ignoring essentially the significant things that they should be paying attention to.
You mentioned the news media. Let's get to that. Any suggestions for mainstream news organizations?
Yeah, slow down.
How can they, though? You're referring to Newtown and other stories where so much misinformation came out. But how can news media slow down when their new competitor is Twitter?
Because essentially they're chasing the wrong thing. They're chasing the first instead of chasing the right.
Well, let's give an example. Both CNN and Fox News announced last summer that the Supreme Court had struck down the individual mandate in President Obama's health care reform. Let's listen.
This is our first read, and we're still going through the reading, the opinion, but I want to bring you the breaking news that according to producer Bill Mears, the individual mandate is not a valid exercise of the Commerce Clause.
Oh, boy.
We have breaking news here on the Fox News Channel. The individual mandate has been ruled unconstitutional.
Okay, well, that was wrong.
Totally wrong.
So that's your point.
The value is in speed, and I think that leads to a lot of misinformation, and that, again, erodes the credibility of the news media.
Well, and we should say that, you know, we were covering live the events at Newtown over the course of several hours and our program airing in different time zones. We got a lot wrong, too. You know, we got a lot wrong, too.
It's not a question of getting things right or wrong. It's a question of, you know, are you responsible in terms of what's known at the time? And I think that's the best standard you can hold yourself to.
John, thanks. John Carroll, mass communication professor at Boston University and media analyst for Here and Now, and a little bit of our in-house soul searcher, as you just heard, as well. We'll link you to his Campaign Outsider blog at herenow.org. Jen, thank you.
Nice to be here, Roman.
Okay, so in 2013, I resolved to nail the difference between lay and lie. Say fewer you knows. What would you like us to resolve to do? Tweet us, please. I also resolved to break 900 followers before 2013 at Here and Now, Robin. Or are you so over Twitter? Let us know that as well at hereandnow.org. Let us hear from you. You're listening to Here and Now.